And you left out asparagus, too. You had asparagus for the first time.
Yes, you did. You did.
Yes, and I didn't realize that my dear sweet friend did not like everything that I like. So, and I was in charge of the menu, so I will know better next time to have a little bit more meat and potatoes on the menu that I did. It is delightful to be here with you guys again. Just the sweet presence of Jesus this morning is always, always so refreshing. And during worship, he was just speaking pretty clearly to me. And this may just be for me, so I'm going to go ahead and share it in case it is for anyone else. But I felt like he was saying that there really is something that we have been putting in the place of him. And that when we get confused with the challenges of life, that it's really easy to make that into an idol. And we don't even realize that we're doing it, but it takes all of our focus. It even takes all of our prayers. And so I was confessing this morning, I have made an idol of my children once again. And I'm like, haven't we done this before? Don't I know better by now? Papa, I'm so sorry. And he said, I love you. So I just want to welcome if anyone else is in the same boat as me this morning to just lift that confession up to the Lord so that you can clear away any idols that are in the place of him. And then he just reminded me of Psalm 27. And he said, this is what this church does. One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that I will seek, this church, you have asked the Lord continuously, and you do seek him, and he is so pleased with us this morning. One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in his presence all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty, the delightful loveliness, and the majestic grandeur of the Lord, and to meditate in his temple. So, Heavenly Father, Holy One, we seek your beautiful face this morning. Thank you for just filling up our worship time this morning so that there is nothing between us and you, and that we can freely come into your house and worship you. Heavenly Father, I know that we all come with needs this morning, with questions, with concerns, with rejoicing. And Father, thank you that you have the arms that are big enough to wrap around all of them. I love what Terry said and how he reminded us that the earth is the footstool, which is just mind-blowing, Father. You are immense. Thank you, Father, that you care so much for us and that you have good plans for us. And Father, what an honor it is to be among my friends this morning. So Father, we give you the rest of this time. And Father, I ask especially for my sweet husband that you would give him the words this morning that you want released in your sanctuary. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Good morning, my friends. How is everybody doing today? Well, I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about the power of God, so fasten your seatbelts, because we're going to go for a ride. I had the amazing opportunity to be a part of a couple of different moves of God in a couple of different locations. And the, you know, each one was different, but, you know, we're praying for revival now, we're praying for a move of God, we're praying for God to move once again, and I don't think there's not a person in here that wants to see a move of God any more than I do. You know, we're hungry for God to move and have his way in his church and his people. And as amazing as those times were, where we would just walk into a service with really without a plan, we would have somebody that would speak that night, but sometimes we wouldn't even speak because God would come and just rest on us. And you would spend hours and hours on the floor and leave service at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it felt like it was an hour. We call that a lot of that, we call that carpet time. We had a logged in about 1,000 hours of carpet time. You could probably go see the spots where the snots and the tears were embedded in the carpet. But it was amazing and wonderful times where God would just cleanse us and set us ablaze for him and do many extraordinary things. Man was not in control. We told the Holy Spirit to take over. He did. We allowed him to, and he moved. I want to see God move like that again. But I do know that it's not going to be the same. It will not look the same. It will not be the same as we've had in the past. It will be completely different. What it looks like, I don't really know. But I do know a lot of the things that we see in a move of God. We see healing. We see loss of healing. We see signs, wonders, miracles. People coming to know Jesus that we never expected would. People hunger for him. They just walk into grocery stores and just ooze out the love and power of God out of them. So I'm hungry this morning, and I know you are, to see a move of God. And I have a few verses here that I kind of wanted to go over with you. I'm going to start off in Matthew 21. And we all know about in the verse 12, Jesus going into the temple and cleansing the temple. As I've said, we've been praying for revival. We've been praying for a move of God. And we've been asking him to move and sweep across our nation and nations again. And we're praying these things and we're seeing things happen. And empires and structures and systems. We're beginning to see a collapse. We're beginning to see the empires begin to crumble. Is this part of it? We're asking God for a move of God, and we're seeing systems of religion being crumbled. We're seeing empires being brought down, shifting and shaking, and things moving and happening. It's interesting to see what's going on right now in this time. You know, Jesus, he walks into the temple, he turns over the tables, he was angry. He was angry about what was going on in his father's house. And we can talk about that, but I want to go a little bit past that. Right after Jesus flips the tables over. And I'm going to start in verse 14. So he's there in the middle of the religious system hub. And he's flipping things over. He's moving things. He's shaking things. He's causing a disruption in the system of religion. In verse 14, it says, "And the blind and the lame came to him in the porticos and in the courts of the temple area, and he healed them." Jesus was flipping.
ice on.
Hello?
There we go.
Now, I can talk really loud. I don't really know that I have to add this. Anyway, in the middle of a religious party, Jesus comes and interrupts things and shakes things up and flips things over.
Try the switcheroo.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Gotta love technology. It's a good thing you have people that know how to do that. So in the same time, people were being healed. People were coming to Jesus. They saw something different in this man, that of what he was doing, the signs and wonders and miracles that he walked in. But it says here in verse 15, when the chief priest and the scribes saw the wonderful and miraculous things that Jesus had done and heard the boys who were shouting and the porticos and the courts of the temple in praise and adoration, Hosanna to the Son of David, the Messiah, they became indignant. Indignant. Probably pronouncing that incorrectly. I have the Amplified Version. I looked up indignant in the Bible, or in the Oxford Dictionary, and it says that they became angry, that it was unjust, and they were offended. They were offended. The chief priest saw the wonderful and miraculous things that Jesus had done, and they were offended. They were angry. They were angry. At this time in history, this was during the Passover, and the scripture says, heard the boys. There would have been many 12-year-old boys around at this time to have experienced their first Passover, as well as the traditional ceremony for these 12-year-old boys to become men or to go into manhood. And I just thought it was interesting because at this same time, Jesus stands in the middle of the system religion and he's flipping things over. People are getting healed. Miracles are happening. And these 12-year-old boys who are getting ready to go into manhood witness supernatural power. What they've seen is the system. What they've seen is religion and laws and rules and all of those things. But when Jesus comes on the scene, they have a whole new experience. And they recognize him. And they begin to shout, the Messiah is here. I believe that scripture doesn't give us really much. What has happened to these 12-year-old boys. But I truly believe that that changed their life from that moment forever. That they had a new vision and a new outlook of life, of experience, of power. And they knew who the Messiah was. Even though the system of religion did not think that he was the Messiah, they were offended by him. But those 12-year-old young men who were going into manhood went into manhood declaring that Jesus was the Messiah. If we turn over to Romans 15:19. This is my favorite scripture. When I was ordained, they asked me what scripture, and I asked for this scripture to be read. In 15:19, it says, with amazing programs and hard work and striving, I fully preached the gospel. Wait, no, it doesn't say that. It says, with the power of signs and wonders, and in the power of the Spirit, starting from Jerusalem and as far as away as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel. Paul says that he fully preached the gospel through signs, wonders, miracles, and in the power of the Spirit. I truly believe that we are going to begin experiencing the power of God moving through His people unlike we've ever seen before. That we are going to be seeing signs, wonders, and miracles on a scale that we have not seen before. The early church moved powerfully in signs and wonders and miracles. When things started off, they were the most powerful force on the earth. For years and years and years, the early church. Everywhere they went, people were healed, people were saved, people were delivered. Signs and wonders and things that appeared. I believe that we are in a restructuring right now in this moment in history of what God is doing in His church. We are in a place of the traditions being broken, things that did not, that will not look the same as they have looked before. That we are walking back into a place where Holy Spirit is allowed to move freely, and we walk in power. We walk in signs, we walk in wonders, and we walk in miracles. You take a look at King David. When King David was just a young man, he was in the field, he was protecting the sheep, he was doing what he was told, he was the youngest of his brothers. His brothers were looked at as the future leaders, as strong, smart, young men who just overlooked David because he was a shepherd. He was out there by himself in the field tending the sheep. The Bible says that David killed a bear and a lion protecting the sheep. But I don't really believe that David really talked about that. I don't think that David went around and told his brothers, "Hey, I killed a bear." He told his dad, "Hey, I killed a lion today." I think David was just a quiet man that tended to the sheep, that took care of his responsibilities, and at the same time, in that quiet place, it says that David was had a heart after God's heart. David was an overlooked young man with really no potential that anyone thought. They looked at the stronger. They looked at the ones that they thought would be the future leaders. Saul was chosen because he was a big, strong man. He was tall. He was good looking. He had all the features of a king. David did not. David watched sheep. We can look. And we look today, we look at things and we look at what God's doing, and we're beginning to see a trend, a tradition, a pattern, so to speak, of what we're noticing at Kingdom Culture and Cafe de Berg. We're noticing more and more people who have been overlooked, who have been set aside, coming in and sharing their testimonies, sharing what God has been speaking to them about. We just had a gentleman that came and said he was hurt by the church. He has PTSD, and he doesn't like people. I can understand. He has PTSD, he's hurt by the church, he doesn't want to get out, doesn't like people. But his wife told him that we had amazing cinnamon rolls, right? And he came for the cinnamon rolls. He doesn't get out of the house at all, hardly ever, he says. But he came for the cinnamon rolls, and he loved them. He thought they were amazing. So we didn't really know much about him at all. The next day, we had a creative arts day, and this man begins to share that he has PTSD. He doesn't like to get out of the house. He came because he wanted a good cinnamon roll. And he met us, and he thought we were nice people, and he liked the cinnamon roll. The cinnamon roll was an important part of it. And he was there. He was at the art thing. And there was just changes in this man. The man came for a cinnamon roll. We think that we have to do all of these things and have these amazing programs and functions and all of these things to get people to come. We have to have bounce houses. We have to have all this stuff to attract people to come. But it's the simplicity of a cinnamon roll that brought this man to a place that God gave us to do. And he met us and he liked us. And immediately his life began to change. He got out of the house. He shared how much it meant to him for people to come up to him and greet him and be nice to him and be kind to him. That there's nothing that we have to do to create this big thing that wants to draw people in. It's the power of God that lives inside of us telling us to do something, and we simply be obedient in doing it. It is through the obedience that the power of God meets you in the middle. As you step out and continue to do what God has told you to do, the power of the Holy Spirit meets you right there to give you what you need. You may think that you're not anything, that you're worthless, that you don't have anything to offer, that you're just a simple shepherd taking care of the sheep or the garden. But God is speaking to you. He's speaking to you today. He's asking you to step out. He is asking you to do things. He has been asking you to do things. And it's a matter of simple obedience and saying yes. When God told us to sell our house, I was more excited about it than my wife was at the beginning. It took her a little more time.
True.
Yep. Sorry. I have a weird anointing that when God moves on me, I sweat a lot and my eyes sweat. So that's just sweaty eyes, okay? Yep. And you know, I was excited about it. What was interesting was when we got the house, when we bought our house, and I don't even know why I said it, Billy, to be honest with you. It just popped out. And I can't remember, our realtor said something, and my wife said, "This is our forever home." I said, "No, it's temporary." I wasn't prophesying, at least I didn't think I was. I just felt like it was temporary. She's like, "No, it's our forever home. Forever. I'm not moving again. We're done." And so when God told us to sell our house, well, that was interesting. I am someone that moves at 100 miles an hour. I'm a very driven individual. And I will just go. Just, you know, as fast as I can. Had a prophetic word several years ago that said that we were going to be given entrance into the engine room of the train, and we would get to choose how fast we get to go. And I was like, yeah, full steam ahead. But my wife, she moves a little differently. She's a little slower. She processes things. She moves, which is probably very good for me, because otherwise I would be all over the place. But it was a big thing. It was hard. And we had kids. She loved our home. I know she did. It was her forever home. And so there was things that we had to go through. And it took a year. I mean, it was a long time. There was a lot of processes. There was a lot of opportunities to give up and say, "Forget this. This is crazy. This is not worth it, not worth the struggle, not worth going through all that you're going through." And then, "Are you sure you heard from God right? Is that what you're supposed to do?" Maybe you're not supposed to leave. Isn't it funny how when we run into a circumstance and we do something that God told us to do, and then it gets hard, and then we automatically think that God's, that all of a sudden that we messed up, and that we're not in the right place because that's God trying to tell us? Man, can you imagine Paul feeling like that every time? Whoop, wasn't supposed to get on that ship. Whoopsie daisy. Wasn't supposed to go here, wasn't supposed to go there. Wasn't supposed to do that. Well, I'm paying for doing something wrong. But yes, every time we do something, every time we step out, every time we step into what God's calling us to do, there's going to be hard times. There's going to be struggles. But in the end, what we step into will be so joyful that everything that we went through to get there will be just a distant memory. So going through that process of the coffee shop, of moving, talking to people, thinking we were going to have something, and things not playing out. We talked to an investor for about a year, and it just never went anywhere. You know, here we are. We got our house sold. We don't have a coffee shop. Didn't have any of that. And, you know, the whole idea, first of all, of having a coffee shop and a church all in one together was different, out of the box, not normal. When my wife and I stepped down from pastoring several years ago, thanks to Pat, through a prophetic word, messed us all up, changed our lives forever. Pat does that a lot, doesn't he? He said, in 3 months, things aren't going to look the same, and he's saying all this stuff, and it's like, woo, yeah, because we're thinking one thing and not another. And it's like, man, what was that? God put us exactly where we were supposed to be. You know, the first time that we walked into that, we never thought we would be where we're at today. Nope, not at all. It made sense to me to be a pastor. That's what I knew. That's what I grew up with. My grandparents, my grandpas on both sides were parents. My pastors. My dad was a pastor. It just made sense. To say something that not pastoring a church or being outside of a church building, doing something different would have been just like, no, that's wrong. That's just wrong. That can't be. God doesn't do that. I remember when I was younger, you know, we got to bring the people to church so they can be saved. We got to get them to the church building so they can be saved. Well, where's that in the Bible? Where is that where it says that we have to bring them to some place so they can be saved? I do know that where it says where Peter that would walk down a road at a certain time of day when the sun would hit the building correctly so that there would be a shadow that people would line up. Just think about that for a moment. There was a certain time of the day where Peter would walk by between these two buildings and the sun would hit this building that would create a shadow. The people had to know about that. They had to know that this shadow was going to hit the ground at this point in time because people were laying up in the streets, and it says, so that they could hit Peter's shadow and be healed. Think about what people had to see in those days and times to line people up in a street who are sick and broken so that they can hit a shadow and receive the power of God and get up and walk. Or that they were so used to supernatural power of God that when Peter was in prison and while they're in the house praying for Peter, a knock on the door. It's Peter himself, but no one believed it. They said, a little girl answers the door and says, it's Peter. And they said, no, it's just his angel. He's in prison. But they were praying for him right at that moment. And to think that angel, that Peter's angel would be standing. How many angels do you think they saw on a regular basis to believe that over Peter getting out of prison? We've lost a lot of those things. We've lost sight of the power of God. We've been so concentrated on how to grow a church, how to make it bigger and better and get more people and create more fun things and programs that we've lost sight of the supernatural. I'm going back to David. And as David was a young man, as I said, sitting in the woods with his sheep, talking to God. Quiet young man, not thinking anything other than what he's supposed to be doing and just spending his time talking to the Lord. And at the same time, an empire is being built. A man named Goliath is causing havoc. A whole entire army of Israel is in fear. In fear of this man Goliath, and no one would face him. No one would come up. David hears about this giant. And David says, "How dare this man speak to the God of Israel this way?" A young boy tending sheep steps out in front of an entire army of Israel, decked out in armor and swords, who were trained fighters, who knew how to use swords, killed men before. He walks past, and everybody's making fun of this young little boy. His own brothers discourage him and tell him to leave. He's going to get killed. He comes into the camp, and Saul sees him. And there's something interesting that Saul does, and that Saul wants to put his armor on David. David, just a young boy. Now, Saul was probably, 6'8", 6'10". They don't know exactly how tall, but Saul was a big man. And David was probably 5'10 or so. So imagine someone that big putting their armor on you, what it's going to feel like. The weight of it, not being able to move it, being so big. But that's what they knew. That this empire dependent upon the armor, dependent upon their knowledge and their understanding of the way they knew how to fight and the way they knew how to go to war. David puts on this armor, and David can't move. He says, "I can't go out like this. I cannot go out like this." He says, "I've killed a bear. I've killed a lion with my slingshot. And I'm going after him with my slingshot." In that moment that David took off the armor that represented that former empire, he was taking off the former empire. He was taking off that former system, that former way of doing things, that former army, because that army itself was frozen in fear of Goliath. And a young man who's simply called by God to face a giant on his own with a slingshot. That was abnormal. No one fought with a slingshot in war. No one did. It was swords. It was spears. And David went after him with that slingshot. And we all know the story. But in that moment, an empire was changed. There was a new man. There was a new thing happening. That former empire, the former strength, the former powerhouse of the nation, of what was at that time, was forever changed. through David. And we all know the story of King David. We all know what he became, what he went through in his life. But I just want us to look at this morning of that moment that I truly believe was a significant moment when the armor was put upon him and he took that armor off, representing a new empire of that old empire being shaken and that old empire being done. David did something that was unheard of, abnormal, no one ever seen before. We are seeing more and more things today begin to crumble and change and shake. Is it coincidence that God is moving in something different than what we've known before? I know that there's people here this morning that God has asked you to do some things. And you may be questioning, you may be wondering, you may think it's too hard. You may think, God, am I really the right person for that? But if he's been speaking to you about it, the time is now. The time is now that God is calling you to step out into those things, to step out into what he has asked you to do. I believe that God is speaking to his church this morning. And he's speaking to his church that it's time to rise up. It's time to awaken and to rise up into what I've called you to do and what I've called you to be. That the days of the overlooked are over. That the days of thinking that you are not worthy are over. We are going to begin to see people who we never thought would come into places of authority and power walk in them daily. And I believe that he is preparing each and every one of us. He's preparing our hearts to not be jealous when we begin to see people rising up, those of us that have been in this for years, to not be jealous when we begin to see people step out and say yes. Because there is such a hunger in people today to see something different, to see something powerful, to see a fresh anointing, to see a fresh move. Well, on Monday nights, we have our worship nights. And when it first started, you know, we had adults. And then all of a sudden, something happened. Like I never would have thought of happened. If you would have asked me about a bunch of youth coming, I never would have even imagined that. But all of a sudden, all these kids show up between the ages of 15, 17. And we have a mixture, some other folks too, that are older. But these kids are so hungry. They bring their guitars. They bring their ukuleles. They bring the little box thing that they play drums on. And they said that this was their place. This was their place. I was like, okay, that's awesome. Because I have no idea what's going on right now. But but I began to hear. There was a time where these kids had freedom to move in the Spirit. And they were allowed to do what they wanted, what they felt like God was telling them to do. And that ended. Things changed. New leadership took over, took that away. But the hunger could not be taken away from these kids. See, there is a generation right now that on this earth that God is burning into. And I want you to understand, I am not one of those that says or believes that the next generation. It is the generation that is on the earth today, right now, that God is moving in and he's calling
and he's giving us an opportunity to jump in with him and what he is doing. What he is doing, okay? Not what everybody else is doing, not what we think is a good idea, what we've done so long and what we've done and made tradition, but what he is doing. I want to jump into what he is doing. I want to be a part of what he is doing. Yeah, I can come up with all kinds of crazy ideas and do fun stuff, but no, I want to do what God's doing. And there's a generation right now that God is crying out to and that he is burning into right now. He's saying, awaken and rise up with me, because this is the hour that I have destined you for, that I have put you in place in this time, this season right now, because I am doing a new thing, and I am coming to you, and I am calling to you to rise up, rise up, rise up, rise up, and stand with me, and walk with me, and see what I shall do in your life. See what I shall do. Those times that you've spent in prayer, asking God to move, asking for your family to be saved, asking for healing, to see signs and wonders and miracles. I am placing that in you in this time in history. You shall walk on the streets, and you shall walk outside of the church, and you shall see miracles through my hands. You will deliver, and you will fully preach the gospel through signs and wonders and miracles and in the power of the Holy Spirit. So these young kids said that this is their place, and they're coming in, and they're hungry, and they're excited. And I don't even know what to do. I'm just taking my hands off. I'm like, you guys take it over. You do it. You do your thing. I'll sit here and watch. First of all, I'm too old to jump around like they do and everything else. They're bouncing all over the place. But it's just amazing. It's amazing to see. It's amazing to see. And this, where we're at, you know, I feel like at that same time right now, as I talked to you about earlier, where Jesus was going in and flipping over the tables. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious system of the day wanted to see Jesus go in and destroy Rome. They wanted to see Jesus destroy Rome. They wanted a Messiah to do what they wanted him to do. But they missed that he was the Messiah because he wasn't doing what they wanted to do. Let's not miss what God is doing today, because we have a perception of how things are supposed to be. There's a lot of prophecies about doom and gloom and everything else, but I can't buy into that, because I can't believe that Jesus is coming back for a rescue mission, that he doesn't have to rescue us to get us out of a mess. That's not why he's coming back. He's coming back for a church on fire. He's coming back for his bride, a church that is explosive, that is full of the power of the Holy Spirit and walks in it every day. So we're in that time in history now where Jesus is going in and cleansing the temple. Things are being flipped over, shaken, turned around, turned upside down. And we're out there watching this whole thing of what God is doing as he paints this picture and this moment of history where he is getting ready to move again upon this earth, powerfully like he did in the past. And we're watching and we're seeing this play out. I feel like those 12-year-old boys who were sitting there getting ready to go into their manhood and the Passover for the first time, that they were getting ready to walk into a new era. They were getting ready to walk into their own, become their own, become their own man, become their own whatever. And Jesus, at that same time, where they encountered him, where they stood and said he was the Messiah, where he was the Messiah, where he was the Messiah, and they shouted greatly. I'm excited. I am excited to see this moment. I am excited to disrupt the system of religion. I'm excited to poke the bear. I told my wife, I said, I truly believe that's what God's called me to do, is poke the bear. I'm an A bear, and I'm going to poke the other bears. So I'm not really ever done this before, and I know that it has been done. Like in some places, I've heard it. Excuse me. But I feel like I'm supposed to do an impartation this morning. And it's not that I have any ability whatsoever to impart fire or power or something into you. That's God. That's between you and God. But I do know, though, a long time ago, I had this vision. And it was really interesting because I didn't understand it for a while. And I had this vision of... I walked into this furnace room, and there was a gigantic furnace, and there was an individual that was pumping coals into this furnace, and as I was standing there, he was putting more coals, and it began to just flame, you know, flame to the point where it was like different colors, and this individual, I don't know if it was an angel or what, grabbed two of those coals that were illuminating from the heat. And I could vividly remember feeling heat. And feeling this heat, and this angel gave me these coals and told me that he was giving me these coals to impart this burning fire into other people. So I remember time where I was, I went over to Redding, California, and I felt like God told me to go to Redding, to go to Bethel Church over there, right? And I thought it was all about going to Bethel Church. It was amazing over there. I had a wonderful time. It was great. It was a refreshing, it was a whole new thing, because in that time in my life, there was a lot going on. And, you know, the things of not knowing what direction my life was going to go, really. And even to the point of, am I going to be alive in a couple years? And I went, and I'm sitting there in the service, you know, and people are prophesying, giving me things, sharing things with me. And that was all great. It was all wonderful. And I go back to the hotel, and I get this book out. And the book was about revivals of the past. And Charles Finney, you all know Charles Finney, right? I'm reading, and Charles Finney said something that struck me. He said, I was struck by God. And it was to the point where I thought I was going to die. And I was just like, that's cool. I want that. I'm in a hotel room. And I'm laying in this bed. And the moment that left my mouth, that's cool. I want that. All of a sudden, which I can't really describe other than stand in a swimming pool and drop a hair dryer in it that's plugged in and running, and then ignite yourself with fire. That kind of pretty much was what it was like. And I just remember just feeling this heat, this presence, this power of God flow through me like I've never felt anything in my entire life. You know, just burning off all of the ick. Burning off all of the past, burning off all of the hard things
and just all the filth and, you know, everything that's in us. And I spent hours like that. Hours. I'm in a hotel room, okay? It was not quiet. I mean, I was in the hotel room yelling. I was, oh! Whoa! Because that's what it felt like. It was like, I called Elise. And I told her, I'm sharing with her, right? I said, hey, I got to tell you something. I'm like, oh! So I don't even know what these people thought in the hotel room, you know. And I'm going through this. And finally it ends. And I remember about that time when I was reading that book, it was about 5 o'clock. I think it was like five something. And I finally get up off the floor where I had actual control of my body. And I get up and I lay in the bed and it was 3 a.m. And I was like, whoa. And then I went right to sleep. I was out. Got up, went to church that next morning, and I'm standing up there at the altar, and I'm looking for the guy, for the most on fire dude that I can find, right? I'm like, no, I said fire, because I want the fire, and I'm over there looking, and I see this guy over here in the corner, and he's like... And I was like, oh, yeah, that's him. So I run up to him. His name's Marshall. Fire Marshall. Get it? Yeah. So anyway, he prays for me, and then we're both out on the floor. I mean, it was amazing. So then I go back to the hotel. I go in. I change. I'm going to go get something to eat. I go up to the doorknob, put my hand in the doorknob, and an electrical charge comes out of the doorknob. It wasn't like, you know, when you go like this and you touch something. No, it was that same all over again. And this time, I was like doing that again for hours. And this time, I was like, okay, I have got to release what God is putting in me because I'm about to lose it. I like open the door to the hallway, and I'm like, I'm just going to start yelling fire down the hallway. And I'm like, wait a minute. You can't do that in public. You know, don't do that. So I start picking up the phone, and I just start praying for people. I'm prophesying over people, and I'm just like, and I'm doing all these weird things. I'm, you know, I'm talking. I call my stepsister at the time who was not pregnant and was worried about pregnancy. She had a disease. They told her she couldn't have a baby, and I started declaring over her that she was going to have a baby, you know, all these things, and now she has two. And It was amazing, and I was like, wow, you know. But the thing, the takeaway from that time was where I just came to a place where I said, God, I don't care what happens in my life. I must have more of you. That's all that matters. I must have more of you because where I'm at right now, I can be healed or I'll die. I'll be in this place, you know, but you have to do something because I don't want to live like this anymore. I want more of you. So fill me up. Give me your fire. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what has to happen. I will do whatever you ask me to do, but fill me with your fire. So this morning, I'm asking anybody here this morning, that are you in a place now in your life where you say, I don't care about anything else, that I'm letting all of my worries, all of these other things, all of these things in my life go secondary because number one, right now, God, I must have you. I want your fire. I want to see you move in my life. You are my number one priority. If that's you, I'm just going to ask you to come and stand down here. If you just want to line up. I don't know what God's going to do this morning, but if you don't have somebody behind you, just don't fall down. But I just want to impart to you this morning, you know, I am holding these coals in my hand that God had given me and told me to give away to people. And I'm going to do that this morning with you. So this morning, I just ask you just to surrender to Him. Just to surrender to Him. God, we want you more than anything else. God, this morning we must have you. We want to see you move. We want you to fill us with your power. We want you to fill us overflowing with you. There is nothing else, God, in our life that we want more than you. So this morning, Father, I ask you, Father, to touch your people today, to touch those who are crying out for you, those that have hearts for you this morning that are saying, yes, Lord, I want you to fill me up. I want you to fill me overflowing, 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 overflowing this morning. God, I must have you. I must have you. Impart fire in the name of Jesus over you right now, impartation of fire, 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 impartation of fire right now, more, impartation of fire right now, more fire of the Holy Spirit, more fire of the Holy Spirit, more fire of the Holy Spirit, more overflowing fire of the Holy Spirit, fire of the Holy Spirit, more overflowing fire of the Holy Spirit, 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 more touch him, Lord, touch him, fire of the Holy Spirit, fire of the Holy Spirit, fire of the Holy Spirit, more fire of the Holy Spirit. Fire of the Holy Spirit. More. Fire of the Holy Spirit. More. Fire. More. Fire of the Holy Spirit. 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 More. Fire of the Holy Spirit. More. Pastor Terry, fire of the Holy Spirit, more, overflowing right now, overflowing. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes,
Lord. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Jill. Are you receiving this morning? God sent his word this morning. He's all about healing. He's all about anointing. So we thank you, Joel, for bringing what God has put on your heart. Father, we ask that you would just send an anointing each with each person here. The fire of the Holy Ghost may be upon them everywhere they go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Jesus. There's not many left, but you're welcome to what is here. Anybody else need one? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Joel, could you come up a minute?
Yeah.
How many would agree with me that you're grateful this man of God came this morning?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.